This special episode is part of our 2020 Chamber of the Year Finalist Series, where you get to hear from some of the top chambers across the country. I hope you find great value in this series, but first, the intro. This is the Chamber Chat Podcast, the show dedicated to chamber professionals to spark ideas and to get actionable tips and strategies to better serve your members and community.
And now your host, he always listens to podcasts when he's in the car. He's my dad, Brandon Burton.
Welcome to Chamber Chat Podcast. This is Brandon Burton, and you're joining us today for episode 80 of Chamber Chat Podcast, which also happens to be our ninth interview in our 2020 ACCE Chamber of the Year Finalist Series. And for those of you who may be new to listening to Chamber Chat Podcast, I'd invite you to check out our Get Started page, which is found at chamberchatpodcast.com/start. And there you can find some resources for some non-dues revenue ideas, which I know is important right now, as well as our free chamber podcasting guide. So if you've ever considered producing a podcast for your own chamber, you can get that resource there. Again, that's all found at chamberchatpodcast.com/start. So our guest today for this ninth interview in our Chamber of the Year Finalist Series for 2020 is Kevin Sheely, who's the president and CEO of the Ocala Marion County Chamber and Economic Partnership, or CEP, in Florida. This is their community's primary chamber and economic development organization. He's a career chamber and economic development professional and has spoken across the country on issues relating to economic and community development. He is the recipient of numerous awards, including the National Excellence in Economic Development Award from the U.S. Department of Commerce. The CEP was the 2019 Florida Chamber of the Year and is a finalist for the ACCE National Chamber of the Year for now the third time in 4 years. 2020 marks Kevin's 26th year in the chamber and economic development field. And prior to coming to Ocala, Kevin had worked in economic development in Kentucky and Tennessee. The CEP represents the fourth time he successfully assisted communities in merging and creating new economic development entities. Kevin is originally from Louisville, Kentucky, and is a graduate of Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. He and his wife, Lisa, are the parents of three children. And in case you missed it, last year I had the opportunity to have Kevin on Chamber Chat Podcast. He's one of our first repeats on Chamber Chat Podcast. So if you wanted to go back and listen to his interview from last year, that's found at chamberchatpodcast.com/episode 29. So we're excited to get into this discussion with Kevin today to see what's making the Ocala CEP stand out among other chambers this year, and we will get into that discussion as soon as we get back from hearing from our sponsor. Chambers are not considered for Chamber of the Year without having great programs and steady streams of non-dues revenue. I want to introduce you to a great affinity program from Swipe It. In partnership with Chamber Chat Podcast, SwipeIt is one of the best credit card processors in the business. With the SwipeIt Affinity program, you can save up to 40% on your credit card processing fees at the chamber and help your member partners to do the same. Chambers who take advantage of the SwipeIt Affinity program can add thousands of dollars to their non-dues revenue annually. Please visit chamberchatpodcast.com/cc for more information and to request your complimentary cost savings analysis from the experts at SwipeIt. The first 20 chambers to respond will qualify for free equipment to get set up. Again, visit chamberchatpodcast.com/cc to start swiping with SwipeIt. All right, Kevin, we are back. If you would take a moment to say hello to the chamber champions that are out there listening and share something interesting about yourself so we can all get to know you a little bit better.
Thank you, Brandon. It's good to be on with you again. So I think this makes it 51 episodes between my last time. So that makes almost a year if you think about one a week.
That's so right.
I like that. You know, I'll tell you, I was trying to think what's something interesting I can share, and I'll share this. I am the inaugural winner of the very prestigious Ocala Lip Sync Contest. So right next to our Chamber of the Year trophies downstairs, there is the Lip Sync Challenge Contest winning trophy. So
That's some bragging rights right there.
Hey, listen, we take a lot of pride. We put them right there together.
So what was the song that just put you over the top and crowned you as champion?
There's video of it somewhere. It involves a visual, but Whitney Houston's I'm Every Woman.
Awesome. That's what I thought. I totally pictured you singing that.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
All 6'6" of me. Yes.
Yep. that's great. Well, if you could just share with us a little bit about the Ocala CEP, just to give everyone a little more perspective about where you're coming from with your background as far as maybe size, location, budget, staff, kind of your arrangement there at the CEP.
So the CEP, in our current configuration as a CEP, we are in year 8. Later this fall, we'll celebrate 8 years as the CEP, but the roots, this organization has existed continually for 133 years. We go all the way back to 1887 and the founding of the Ocala Board of Trade. Under this model as the CEP, we are the community's chamber and with the economic development organization. We currently have around 1,500 members. We serve a community of around 365,000. That's here in the Ocala Metro. We're a one-county metro in the heart of Florida. And we have a staff of 21.
All right. That gives everyone a good idea. And I know when we spoke last time, and I guess 51 episodes ago, we talked about how Ocala is the horse capital of the world. So I don't know if you'll shed some light on that, but I think as far as background and a little bit about Ocala, I found that to be very interesting.
Yeah. So. We are the horse capital of the world. That's based on, we have more horses here than any other county. In fact, more than the next two counties combined.
That's amazing.
We also have a greater variety of horses. We have over 60 breeds of horses, which can be documented in our area at any one point in time. And we know the economic impact of the equine industry just on our community is $2.6 billion a year, and that's billion with a B. And I encourage anyone, we have an amazing new facility that will open in January. It's the World Equestrian Center of Ocala. It'll be the largest equine competition facility in the world. You need to see it to understand it. There's some great YouTube videos about it. Go take a look. Again, World Equestrian Center, Ocala.
Awesome. So let's dive into the Chamber of the Year process, the application, the synopsis that you submitted for Chamber of the Year, and maybe touch on the highlights of those synopsis that were submitted.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, our application, I guess, in many ways would be very similar to those of everyone. And man, what great finalists this year. So very honored as I look all the way across from category 1 through category 4, seeing a lot of friends, a lot of organizations and communities we very much respect. And again, very honored to be named with those communities. You know, this year, so a lot of our applications are very similar, and there are some things we do here at the CEP which are unique, and we'll talk more about those, I'm sure, in a moment. But our two synopsis this year that we submitted, one is in regard to workforce. We call our workforce development program NextWorks because the next generation works. And really had a huge emphasis here the last several years on working with our school system. And we're very fortunate here in Florida, you just have one school district per county. And so we have one large school district with about 46,000 students. With whom we have a fantastic relationship, but working with them, our state college, our technical college, on creating seamless career ladders and really looking at how they each support one another and looking up and down, especially in regards to career technical education. That's been a huge push for us. And in this last year, focusing on our career planning guide. So that we're now working with, starting in the seventh grade, working with students, using some tools that we have to allow them to identify where their areas of interest, putting as much focus on career and technical education in our community as we do going to traditional university. And we talk about finding your E, starting with seventh graders, about finding your E. And that is, once you graduate from high school, are you going to enroll? Are you going to enlist? Are you going to seek employment? And really trying to celebrate and put full focus on each of those. And then begin to work, starting then to help them understand what are the tools that we have available, how they can take advantage in the incredible career technical education programs we have here. We have 7 career choice academies, along with 24 other individual career choice programs. And really understand that these are viable. This is not a, well, if you can't go to university, you can do this. We believe that the real focus needs to be on career technical education. That doesn't mean that they don't go to college, but it's probably very much focused on our state college and our technical college and the ability to come in and out of the system and continually look for new education and learning. And then really engaging the business community all the way throughout the process so that they are not only helping to ensure that the programs we have align with their needs, but also that they're helping them fund. And we had some great examples in the last year or two of where the business community has stepped up to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars to fund additional items for our school system, as well as really led the effort in 2018 to pass a special $1 million for our school system that generates about $20 million a year predominantly for career technical education.
That is awesome. I'm just blown away at the caliber of the youth today. I mean, when you say that starting in seventh grade, they're starting to find this career ladder, this career path, and finding their E. And I think when I was in seventh grade, just trying to look back retrospectively, I think my mind was focused on baseball and skateboarding.
Exactly. And listen, there's still a lot of that. Let's not forget they're still seventh graders. the fact that we can start having, and they are incredibly enthusiastic. What we find, and sort of some great research that says that the typical seventh grader knows 5 careers.
Yeah.
That's all they know.
Yeah.
And so part of a lot of what we're doing in that beginning is not only talking about aptitude and interest and skills, but also just making them aware of what's available. And so one of the things we do is a youth career expo that exposes them. Okay, once they begin to get, they've already done My Career Shines, they're starting to get an idea of what their interests are. Now here's those jobs that you might have interest in that are in our community. And it's so exciting to see the middle schoolers and then hear from parents go, wow, my kid is so excited. They didn't realize they could do that here. They thought their only shot was, like every kid, it's greener someplace else. They'd have to go to Orlando. They'd have to go to Atlanta to be able to help understand, look, whatever it is you want to do, you can do it here. And here are the tools and the path to get there. And that's really, really exciting.
That's right. I think the big E is exposure, that you're talking about right there.
Hold on. I'm writing that down. We're going to have to work that in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so important, just to broaden their horizons and just seeing outside of the professions maybe their parents are in, or maybe a couple of their friends' parents, and really show them what is available in the community. And even if they end up leaving the community, I mean, it's helpful just to know what those opportunities are and help give them a course. But of course, try to keep them in the community.
And we're really clear. We're for those students, for those young adults who leave our community, we're good with that. We're happy for them to go to, again, the Orlando, the Atlanta, some of those other places, because we also know 2 things. One, as they get a little bit older, it's amazing how many of them we get back.
Mm-hmm.
They decide, man, sitting an hour and a half in traffic is not a lot of fun. I want to go back. Man, Ocala really had everything I wanted. I just didn't realize it. And 2, we're going to continue to attract people from around the country. So if we can have good success in getting our own kids back after they've had a chance to find out the grass isn't greener, And we continue to attract, having continued to be a top 25 metro for growth. That's a good combination for us.
Yeah. That is great. I think just being able to help them dip their toes in it is wonderful. So what is the second synopsis?
So our second, we're so proud of this. We have for several years really began thinking, and this podcast is a great example of how do we communicate in our communities? How do we make sure that our public, our citizens, our target audiences, how do they know what's going on? And we've really began looking at it. And I think there was a project that really cemented it for us a couple of years ago. We were helping assist on a major downtown redevelopment project where there had to have been a dozen public meetings, newspaper article after newspaper article after newspaper, front page headlines that went on for about 18 months. Tremendous amount of work and effort. And it wasn't until this project had a groundbreaking and it was posted on Facebook that we realized, looking at the Facebook comments, people were comments like, well, how can the city just do this? Shouldn't they have a meeting? Well, how come no one ever talked about these things just happened? Nobody asked. I mean, it was really not only disheartening, but astounding to find out, wait a minute, what are you talking about? There have been dozens of meetings and articles and whatnot, and that really cemented what we all know is nobody reads the newspaper. I hate to say it, but no one reads the newspaper.
Yeah.
Where do they get their news?
As they scroll on their phone, right?
As they scroll on their phone. So how do we better impact that? And so we made a serious commitment to getting into video. And really, how do we expand our use of video? And part of that is we have been doing a weekly video cast called the Weekly Buzz. We drop it every Friday on Facebook, and then it goes out on other channels and gets a lot of shares. But just it's a 5-minute weekly video series. We've got some incredible staff who actually have a lot of television background, highlighting some of the stories what we think are good stories that people need to know. Really looking at what's going on with our larger employers, smaller businesses, what's going on in local government, the schools, all of that. And it has been an incredible tool for us to not only share this and get the information out, but to see a huge impact. Our Facebook reach, which was pretty good to begin with, has increased 800% in the last year. And our engagement's more than doubled. I mean, that becomes a really powerful way for us to talk and to communicate. And as we think about, I know we'll talk more about it in a moment, but what's been going on here in the last 10 weeks, 12 weeks, that has become an ever more important tool that we have to get information out and to share it.
That's right. Now, I think it's important to see how can a chamber become a communication hub for your community, and the Facebook videos are working well for you. I know for some it's a YouTube video, YouTube channel, and some it's podcasting, and some do a combination where they have the videos and they repurpose it into a podcast or a blog post, or, you know, and they're using it on multiple levels. So they're getting more than just the visual people, but also the auditory and the people that do still want to read. So,
and how do we, you know, one of the cool things, and we don't really go into it in the synopsis, we've recently had added a quarterly magazine and some other things, the magazine has been really good. It's much more than a newsletter. I mean, we really take some more in-depth, but target issues, but being able to start marrying those together. So it just so happened that our issue that came out in March was about cybersecurity. So we were able to take some of the forum that we did that we videoed and include that in the Weekly Buzz, because as people started working from home, cybersecurity got awfully important. And to, you know, really begin to work and coordinate and to get more bang from that. And then how do we share that through other venues? And it's been really cool to see how we've been able to impact that.
Awesome. I think those are two great examples, and I could see why you submitted those as your synopsis on the application. And I wanted to ask, just from your standpoint and just seeing how things are being done there at CEP and how other chambers across the country are doing things, what do you feel is making the CEP stand out, and some things maybe that you guys are doing that other chambers across the country maybe are not doing?
You know, I think it's our model, and we've talked about this 51 episodes again ago. You know, our model is somewhat unique. You know, that we talk a lot within the chamber world, especially through ACCE, about the Horizon Plan and what chambers should look like and changing the funding model. And with the creation of the CEP, we really took that on. And it was about how do we don't have members, we have partners. And that's more than just semantics. When you're a partner in something, you're making an investment. And when you make that investment, you expect a return. I think that whole idea that we've really been able to build here in our community through our organization is the idea that the CEP is the voice of the business community. It's the one-stop shop for the business. No matter what you're doing as a business, you need to check with the CEP because they probably have that resource that you need. They can help with that connection that you want. And it's been really successful for us, not only to grow our revenue, but really to keep that engagement so that in this time where we've had so much going on, it was very natural for businesses to want to look to us for information, for resources. Because of our approach to partnerships, local government, there was no having to have a discussion about, well, we need to have, you know, are you going to be the business contact? Local government assumed, and we assumed, of course, we're going to be the voice for the business community. We're going to help share out the information that needs to go to the business community. I'm a little amazed at hearing other places where they had to go through some process. That's who we are already. And so, you know, really being able to be on the forefront, knowing this is where you go for all things business, I think not only has it been key to our organization, but I think it's allowed us to really be significant here over the last 10 to 12 weeks. And it's been an exciting role to play, to really interact and help find solutions. And not only through the pandemic, but obviously, you know, we've been on reopening here in Florida for a couple of weeks, and to really be a key voice in those discussions.
I love the distinction between a member and an investor. And especially right now, as you kind of hinted towards with the COVID pandemic going on, that I know a lot of chambers are struggling with their membership. But if your members are really seeing it as an investment and they're seeing a great value that they're getting out of the chamber and being that go-to resource, I think that's viewed differently when it comes time to renewal. If it's about renewing a membership or if it's about making that investment again, to make sure that their business stays relevant and having access to those resources. So I think that's
absolutely
a great point.
Yeah, I think it's key. And part is, I think when it's viewed as an investment in growing the business, then it becomes a marketing expense, not a charitable contribution. And that really changes that mindset. For us, it's really about, for the most part, our partners pay one fee. We're on a tiered schedule. So depending on their tier, but many of our partners, they write us a check once a year and that covers everything they do with us. Yeah. It's not that going back and forth. And I think that puts more value to them. You know, and I will say thus far, you know, it's still just late May, so we'll see where that comes out. Our what we consider traditional dues revenue, and I used air quotes there, is actually held up incredibly well. And so that's been really, really key for us as an organization.
That's awesome. So now that we've kind of opened the door on COVID-19 talk a little bit, would you mind sharing maybe what plans you have there at the CEP to lead your business community and your investors through the recovery, yeah, especially on the economic impact that most of the businesses are facing?
Yeah, you know, I'm very excited. Couple of things, an initiative that we are so very proud of, and I am so glad I had a couple of business leaders who early on, as the CARES Act was being passed at the end of March, that weekend, the president signed it on Friday, you know, the House passed it on Friday afternoon, the president signed it that night. And that weekend, we started looking and learning about this portion of the program called the Paycheck Protection Program. So we started planning. I had a group of key leaders who reached out to me and said, what are you going to do with this? We think this is going to be really key and we need to come out hard and fast. And that's exactly what we did. We rolled out that Monday morning, took the weekend, started pulling together. And that Monday morning, we rolled out what we call Get, Gather, Go, which was an aggressive marketing campaign to all the businesses in our metro about the importance of the Paycheck Protection Program. We wanted them to get informed, to gather information, and to go apply. We did a huge Facebook push, social media broadly, we had digital billboards, we had radio spots, we had TV, print, you name it, we were there. Hit where we could, different venues for interviews, but really pushed out, hey, here's what this is. Here's who needs to look at this. Here's how you apply. Had a lot of online resources, created a Get, Gather, Go website, webinars to support, kept updating and moving through our how to fill out the application webinar and our introduction to PPP. Each had over 1,000 views, not Facebook views, but 1,000 views who watched the videos of that recordings. So incredibly engaged. So that we know in the first round of Paycheck Protection Program, which you know only lasted a couple weeks before it ran out of funds, whereas nationally about 1 out of every 19 business received a loan, here in the state of Florida we didn't do quite as well as 1 out of every 25. But in our community, 1 out of every 8 businesses received a PPP loan.
Nice.
And that's huge. We had a great partnership with our lenders. We had 18 local lenders who were participating, or 18 lenders in the market who were participating. And we did twice a week calls with them to, you know, hey, where do we need to change? Where do we need to pivot? Our word for the year. But, we know that once we get through this second round, probably about somewhere between 20 and 25% of every business, not just eligible businesses, but every business, 20 to 25% in our community will have gotten a loan. And that's hundreds, probably about $400 million that came into our community. And I think that's why we're seeing, you know, someone said the other day when they came into town, wow, this place looks like it's still going. I can't believe how much activity there is. And I think it's because there's a lot of things here. We're less tourism dependent than one might think about Florida, but it's been really positive. And so, you know, because we also do the, entrepreneurship business creation piece, we were able to activate that team to work actively with people to evaluate, to look at their cash flow analysis, to make determinations about when to stay open and when to close, and how to apply for different programs and how to evaluate those. So a lot of really, really key engagement on the front end, so that as we're coming out on the back end, it's a little easier for us just to keep sharing out the news of, you know, as people were beginning to open a couple weeks ago, who was open, how to support those businesses. Most here in Florida of our essential businesses, a lot of our employers stayed open, of course, with all the appropriate social distancing and mask and what have you. But, you know, those combinations of things really were key. And the last piece I would mention is we ran a kind of kept an update on our website, created a page, Now Hiring, which we already had. We just moved it to the homepage. We were able to show, I think we ended up around 50 businesses who've been actively hiring through this process locally. So that people could know, hey, look, maybe I'm, dislocated from this position, not sure if this employer is going to reopen, but here are 50 businesses who are hiring today. That I think that's been really key to help keep that information out, to help share that, hey, this is not the end. This is a hiccup. We're going to pivot. We as a community are going to learn from this, and we're going to keep doing good things and keep moving forward.
Yeah. And I think for those businesses that are in a position to hire right now, they're going to get some great talent that come on board.
Absolutely. And be able to retain talent as well.
Yeah. Yep. And then I think there's another wave to look at when those businesses that are losing the talent go to reopen, and then they're going to need to hire. And it's just, it's an evolving pivot.
Exactly. Like again, pivot. That's our word. That's our word for 2020.
That's right. That's right. Well, Kevin, as we start wrapping up here, the whole purpose of this podcast is for the, I like to call them chamber champions that are listening, to be able to be introduced to people and ideas so that they can better serve their chamber members or investors and their community. And I think being able to have this Chamber of the Year finalist series is really a great way to do that, to be able to look at, you know, some of these chambers that are really shining examples across the country. But what might be one piece of advice that you would offer the champions out there listening that they could apply back to their chamber to help take them up to the next level?
Yeah. Why not your chamber? Why not? So many times I think we're waiting for permission. Well, that's not the chamber's area of responsibility. Well, that probably should be someone else. Or maybe, you know what, I think we lead our communities by leading our communities. And I think the chamber plays in every community a key role. And so what I would encourage is don't be afraid to get out of that box. Don't be afraid to, I think often communities are waiting for someone to take a leadership role. And there's no organization better suited to do so than the chamber.
Very well put. Why not your chamber? Step out and take the lead, and you don't need to wait for permission from anybody. Just go do it.
Exactly.
So I know I'd asked you this question back in episode 29, but I like to ask everyone that I have on the show that as we look to the future of chambers, how do you see their purpose going forward?
You know, I think being that, of course, I'm a little biased because it's part of our vision here, but really being that voice for the business community. I think, you know, again, to think about ACCE and the vision plan, not that community events aren't good and there's not a role, but if the chamber exists to do 4th of July parades and Christmas pageants, I think we've missed. I think the role of the chamber in the future is to really be a powerful voice for the business community, to be an organization that can have catalytic conversations that really impact and move our communities forward. I think sometimes if we look at growing communities versus those that aren't, the difference is someone's leading those catalytic conversations, and no one is better situated to do that than the chamber. And so to be able to be in that role, I think the more chambers continue to evolve and grow towards that position as being able to come alongside and help lead, I think that's really going to be key for not only the maintenance of our industry, but really for the growth of our communities.
That's awesome. Well, Kevin, I wanted to give you an opportunity for, again, for those that are listening, if they had any questions about how you're doing things there at the CEP or anything you shared with us in this episode, if they wanted to reach out to you or continue this conversation offline, what would be the best way for them to reach out to you?
Hey, thanks. I would love to do so. Probably email is the best way to connect with me. And it's very simple. It's kevin@ocalacep.com. And that's CEP as in Chamber Economic Partnership.com. Love, email's great, and we can set up a time to talk if anyone wants to do that. They can also check out our website at ocalacep.com.
That's perfect. And as usual, we will get that updated in our show notes for this episode, which will be found at chamberchatpodcast.com/episode80. And Kevin, thank you so much for spending time with us today on Chamber Chat Podcast. I wish you and the CEP the best with the Chamber of the Year as things play out, and as well as in the recovery in your community from COVID.
Brandon, thank you so much. And thank you for doing these, not just the podcast, but in particular, highlighting the finalists each year. I think that's a great tool for all of us. I know I enjoy in particular getting a chance to go back and find out what other people are doing and what I can learn from it. So thank you for hosting those.
If you are a chamber professional, please subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. When you subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast, new episodes will show up in your podcast app each week as they are released. If you're finding value in this podcast, please leave us a rating and a review in iTunes. But most importantly, please share Chamber Chat Podcast with your colleagues that are in the industry.